So today is Ash Wednesday, obviously, and we begin as the collect, the opening prayer says so beautifully, this campaign of Christian service. So 40 days, give or take, plus the Sunday, so call it 46 and change days between now and the Easter mysteries. That's what we start out upon tonight, this great Lenten walk, which comes to us over and over again in the world, in our lives, every spring of the year, at least in this part of the globe. So I'll offer maybe just two quick thoughts tonight, which on one level are a little bit unrelated, but they do intersect, just about the season, what it's for, and also about how it is that God is so open and faithful to all of us as we make these same walk every single year. So first of all, just by way of commentary, so point number one, I think sometimes we can be a little bit lulled into a sense of false security about how much the world just kind of rumbles on its own power without really needing God. Like we think that we're our own masters, that we can solve all of our own problems, that if we just throw enough engineering, money, thought, politics, medicine, whatever at a problem, we can overcome it, we can conquer it, we can vanquish it. And we get lulled in this idea that everything is going to be okay if we just work hard enough, if we just put forth enough effort. However, the problem is that I think if we're honest with ourselves, life has a way of surprising us, because what bubbles up after a while is the reality that we just can't fix all of our problems, which seems like an obvious point. Yet, consider for a second the events of the world around us. The world is, unfortunately, in essence, at war yet again. That's really where we find ourselves as we start Lent in this part of the world. Who would have thought only a few months earlier that we'd be at this point with this major attack happening over in the continent of Eastern Europe, with all these forces colliding and every nation kind of lining up on one side or another? It's a scary, horrible, tragic, frustrating thing. I think a lot of us had kind of thought in our heads, oh, aren't we done with all this? Aren't we past this? Hasn't the human family moved on to other problems? Isn't this all over with? Where did all this come from? I thought it was done. I thought it was vanquished, and I thought that we had put enough structures in place, things in place, treaties in place, things in place. We were on to other problems that were apparently so much more important. All of a sudden, we're back where we started. Why? So the church knows this. The scriptures know this. God knows this. It is that the human condition on one level does not change. It's always the same old problem. And it gets worse. We start to think that we can just kind of fix it without the need for God's help. So on one level, a reaction to the war should be one of sadness, one of sorrow, one of fervent prayers for peace, of course, one of appropriate defense and a call to arms to protect the innocent. All that is accurate in the Christian tradition. And at the same time, if I could put it this way, an appropriate response is to say, I'm not surprised. Of course there's war, because there's humans. It's a fallen world. It will always be a fallen world until Christ comes back to redeem it. So there's no thinking we beat anything. Only the Lord can heal hearts and can move us on to where he wants us to go into human history. So the current set of circumstances just show us that we're never graduating or done with the need for conversion, repentance, self-reflection, self-examination, cries for mercy, cries for help. We're always, if you will, covered in ashes. It's never done. We make a grave mistake in thinking we've somehow moved beyond human sin. It's always with us. It just clings to us, like the ashes will cling to us tonight in a few moments. So the church knows this, as I say. The scriptures proclaim it. God says it. So he says to all of us, never, ever forget the need every single year to make this pause for self-reflection and to ask for mercy. It says elsewhere in the scriptures, not in the ones we hear tonight, where do the wars among you come from? They come from your hearts, the wars in your hearts. The war out there is just a bigger expression of the war inside of me and inside of you. And the passions have to be tamed and they have to be conquered, and sin has to be mastered over and over again. So I could get depressed about that, or I could say, no, that's the fallen human condition. No surprises here. Sin is, frankly, very ordinary. It's rather unsurprising. It's kind of plain. Sin's almost uninteresting because it's just so in the woodwork, in the fabric of our condition. So should there be any question, as I stand before you tonight, as you look at the entire mess of the world, is there any question of the need for Lent? I hope not. And again, lest we think that it's way out there, the war is in my heart, and the war is in your heart, too. And God says to all of us, we have the remedies to conquer that, and they come from on high. That's what grace is for. So we're going to pray, and we're going to fast, we're going to give alms, we're going to do all the usual Lenten things, because all that is designed to calm the war that rages in my heart and your hearts too. And as my heart gets calmer, and yours does too, and as my heart is healed, as my passions are healed, as my appetites are healed, as the season tames them, it ripples out and works to heal the world. But it's never going to be done until Christ comes back again. So the campaign of Christian service that we begin, it's never ending. The season's just a more intense version of a bigger lifelong journey and struggle against sin. It's just there, period. Now that's heavy stuff, right? That might be kind of a, like a downer for the night, I guess. Okay, so, but don't think of it that way, because that's only point number one. And again, one must sit with it, right? You can't gloss over any of that. If we do, then things like wars surprise us. They shouldn't. They're going to happen. So point number one, okay, we're fallen creatures who need healing, and as the healing ripples out of us, God works to mend the world on his time. Okay. Point number two, again, from another angle, how out of right field on this time, all right? It occurred to me as I was thinking about the readings for this evening that we have been hearing this exact same gospel and first reading and second reading every single year on Ash Wednesday since 1970, when the new lectionary and the new calendar of Vatican II came into existence in the Roman Catholic Latin Rite of the Church. Same readings every single year, pretty much the same prayers. Translation shifted a bit maybe 15 years ago, but the same ideas. Same rituals, same outfit, same ashes, same idea, over and over and over again. Think of all that has happened in the entire world since 1970. A whole lot of stuff. I was born, for one, okay? Many of you probably were too, right? Life's come and gone. The world's turned around a bunch of times. Wars have ended and began. People have come and gone. Nations have advanced and receded. Economics has changed. We've had a pandemic or maybe two, depending on how you want to count these things, right? So it's just been this whole constant thing, right? But there's something so comforting in the fact that every single Lent, we come back to the same old reading, the same scriptures, the same rituals, the same prayers, and that it's like this kind of constant, steady drumbeat of certainty and stability and consistency through all that's otherwise shifting and chaotic around us. We just rest on the church's routine, don't we? So the war that rages out there pauses a bit in the face of the ritual that we rest on for our stability, like a rock, like a foundation. We can kind of set ourselves on it like feet on solid ground because we know that we are topsy-turvy, the world's topsy-turvy, but this stuff is steady, steady. God is the steady and sure thing. The consistency of the ritual in the Catholic tradition is, among other things, a manifestation, if you will, a reminder of God's amazing consistency also. God is a rock. God is steadfast. He is steady. He is the concrete beneath our feet when things shift around us. So as Lent begins, therefore, rather than focusing so much on all of our own instability and in sin and our passions that are so disordered, which is point number one, and we must know that, it's also extremely important to rest on the certainty of God's fidelity, that he holds us up, that he's there thick and thin through it all. He will always be there thick and thin and through it all. It's his steadfastness that we rely upon for mercy, for grace, for the trust, and for the peace he wants to put into our hearts. So as Lent starts, it's not so much about us doing these things. The focus isn't so much on our efforts, although that's important. It's also on what God does. What does he do? He is consistent. He's faithful, he's faithful, he's faithful. Let the readings are faithful, faithful, faithful. There's a great consolation in his mercy. So the church says to us as we start the season, it ain't all up to you. I mean, yeah, you got to do your part for sure, but just know that you rest in God, that the world rests in God, that for all the chaos that's out there in our hearts, we rest in his outstretched hands, like the comfort of resting in a ritual. Let that carry you through the season, and let the fidelity of God, his steadfast love, be so moving for you that it permeates deep into your hearts and heals them and makes you and me want to strive to be faithful ourselves. His fidelity breeds fidelity in us as we pray about it and meditate upon it and take in and drink in the beautiful truth of just who God is. The world's been a mess from the beginning. God's been faithful from the beginning. It'll be a mess for a long time. He'll be faithful forever. On those things we rest, on those things we trust and hope, and those things we begin our campaign of Christian Lenten service.